Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
People and Ideas Meet, online and on KBIA. I'm Reuben Stern. An exhibit featuring outdoor landscapes from across the state of Missouri is back on display in Columbia through the end of this month. From 2001 to 2008, landscape painter Billy O'Donnell traveled the Show-Me State to capture scenes from each of Missouri's 114 counties and the city of St. Louis. Meanwhile, author Karen Glines researched the history of the counties and wrote an essay to accompany each painting. The work was published as a coffee table book titled Painting Missouri. The book was honored with the Governor's Humanities Award in 2009. The paintings have since been displayed around the state. Earlier this year, O'Donnell received the Missouri Arts Council's Individual Artist Award, and this Friday, June 8th, O'Donnell will be part of a reception at the Boone County Museum's Montminy Art Gallery, where the paintings are on view. Today, we get a chance to talk with the artist about the Painting Missouri project and about landscape painting in general. Welcome to our program, Billy O'Donnell.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you with us today. We also have with us today Karen Glines. She's an author and former arts and culture writer for AOL in St. Louis. She collaborated on the project. Welcome to our program, Karen Glines.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have both of you in studio today. We hope that you and our audience will participate in the conversation as well. Are there sites in Missouri that you would like to see captured in a painting? We'd love to hear your ideas. So give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. And let's start with this question. Billy, for people who are not familiar with the project, how would you describe what a viewer is going to see in these paintings?
What they're going to see, I think what they're going to see, the way I like to look at it, is a portrait of Missouri. And that's kind of the way I look at it. The whole concept was to actually go on location and paint on location from life so that I would actually meet people and experience the life and just the culture of the region. And so what I hope is that when people look at the exhibit, they recognize so many places across the state. And some places maybe are a little bit nondescript, but they have a feel about Missouri, a rhythm or a quality about Missouri that's really special. And that's kind of how I hope people see it, at it as.
Interesting. Where did this project come from? How did this come about?
How it kind of started was I came back from California, and I couldn't get into a gallery in St. Louis, but I was invited to this big event in California. I was one of five artists across the country. And I came back to Missouri, and I wanted to create more of a culture of landscape painters here in the Midwest. And so I created the Forest Park Paint Out through the St. Louis Artists Guild, and I created the Artists Along the Katy Trail through the St. Louis Artists Guild. We partnered with different art groups along the Katy Trail, and we did a four-day weekend event. And that's when I met Karen, because she was with AOL, the online arts editor, and she – after the project was over, she interviewed hundreds of artists. It was a huge, huge success. And the National Endowment for the Arts got a hold of me, and they implemented in every state of the union. So the following year, we actually had National Endowment for the Arts funding to do the project. But I told Karen I can't write. So I'll let Karen tell. She actually wound up leaving AOL and joining this ragtag group. There was several of us, and so Karen said, basically, how about you ever thought about doing a book?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The Artists Along the Katy Trail was the first chance I had to meet Billy O. And we traveled, as he said, across the state, and we did it for eight days total for 2 years, 2000 and 2001. And as Billy O said, we both said that I can't paint and he can't write, and it was a good combination. So in the process of doing so, we would talk now and then, and I said, gee, we ought to do a book someday. And I had gone to a writer's conference at one point in Muncie, Indiana, and had learned about some projects there and got an idea, came back to St. Louis and said, Billy, I want to meet some for some coffee. And we did, and I told him about the idea. And I think it took about 3 minutes for us both to say, let's go for it. So that was the birth of Painting Missouri.
And there was no funding. None. This was all done.
Very grassroots.
Yes.
So you just went out and did the project and then tried to shop it around? How did that work?
That's pretty much it.
Well, we started. There are 114 counties plus the city of St. Louis. So we're in the top five states in the United States with number of counties. And my job was to research and write an essay on each. And then Billy O, of course, was painting each county. And he'd go do his thing, and then I would do mine. And we'd meet now and then to connect. But at the time, we knew we were going to have a book proposal eventually. And we put that together, and we pitched it to the University of Missouri Press. And they liked the idea, but we really didn't have a contract for probably several years because what I've heard they thought was that one artist and one writer, it was too big of a project for us. But we persevered, and we just kept working on it, and we would call them every now and then and just say things like, we sure hope it's going to snow this year, because Billy O wanted an equal representation of seasons in the paintings. And then finally, it worked, and we got the contract. And this was probably maybe year four of the seven-year project. It took us 7 years. And I guess the other interesting thing is that I really didn't know what Billy O was painting. You know, I've learned from working with hundreds of artists across the state that you really can't tell an artist what to paint. And so one day I went out to his studio, which was in St. Charles at the time, and he pulled them all down off of a big shelf, and I was praying that they would somehow coincide with my last couple paragraphs in the essays so I didn't have to edit too much. And about 8 out of 10 times they did. And I think
amazing.
That showed that we both really do think a lot alike, and it worked.
That is amazing. Again, for those of you in our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about landscape painting in Missouri. Joining me in the studio are artist Billy O. O'Donnell and author Karen Glines. They work together on a project called Painting Missouri. The collection includes images from all the state's 114 counties, plus the city of St. Louis, and is currently on display in Columbia. For those of you in our audience, do you have experience with outdoor painting in the Show Me State? If so, we'd love to hear what your experience has been like. Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Or if you have questions for our panelists, feel free to call in with those. And we'd like to remind you that Intersection is broadcast live every Monday at 2 on KBIA. And online at kbia.org. You can join our online chat at that time by going to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. You'll also see our video feed there on our website. Billy O, how did you decide what you were going to paint?
You know, that was just tough. That was really tough. When you look at this book, I probably average 3 paintings for every county. I would go and I would check out every county. I would look at – I didn't want the book to be about – all the historical buildings are about any one particular thing. So what I did was I would go and I would check out these counties, and there were times when I would come back at maybe in the spring and see what they look like. Like Pierce City, I particularly went to Pierce City just because of those red buds that bloomed in front of the building, which was really special. But it was just checking out. I learned early on, real quick, when I did one of the Rawls County and checked it out. There was a gentleman that I don't think Rawls County gets this program, so but there was a gentleman up there, a wonderful guy, who I told him to show me the county, and what I kind of found out, what happens a lot of times is that when someone shows you the county, the first thing they usually do is take you to their grandparents' farm. And then their parents' farm, and then maybe where they worked or they had some family store, and I wind up being a captive audience for a period of time, and I feel like I actually didn't get anything done. So I learned early on just to talk to people, and I kept journals in this whole project. I kept journals, and I did pen and inks, and so I I did a lot of exploring. I did a lot of checking out, and I'd make notes about different times of the year to come back to see what something looked like. Because the one thing I wanted was I wanted this to be an impressive project. I didn't just want an artist going out and painting a bunch of pictures and then just putting them in the book. I wanted these pieces to say something about our state and say something about our region. And that was, to me, that was key.
And what were you hoping they were going to say about the state or about the region within Missouri?
How wonderfully diverse, and how here in Missouri we pretty much have everything. When you look at the architecture, when you look at the landscape, or even some of the I painted the down in Scott County, I painted the produce, I painted the watermelon stand. Pete O'Neill down there, that had, his family had a little watermelon stand, and he's third generation watermelon farmers. And Scott County at one time was the watermelon capital of the USA when they put the bridge across the highway. So it's just they're just little connections. I mean, a lot of people look at it and say, well, you know, that's just a watermelon stand. But when you look at my journals and little notes that I put in the book, a little paragraph, and you read Karen's writing with this, it brings in a wonderful picture about this region, just how special it is. Yeah.
I think spinning off of the gentleman in Ralls County, I think what that showed me when Billy O shared that story with me is just the pride that the Missourians take in their families, in their homesteads, in whatever it is that they treasure in their particular communities. And that's what I think I noticed. I didn't have the freedom to travel as much as Billy O did in the beginning. But when I got confined at home in my office, I knew it was time to head out. And that's when I would go to the little town cafe at 8 o'clock, talk with the farmers and ask them what was going on in their town that day. And I learned so much from them. And I know there was a particular group, I don't know if you have the picture, of some gentlemen in Perry County. And they were all talking about the impact that Highway 55 had when it went through Perry County, and the concerns they had about their land and losing their family histories. So it really touched me in a way that I never thought something could, as far as I love my state. But I think I always say I was one of those city girls from St. Louis that would take Highway 70 to get to Kansas City. And this project really has taught me the beauty of getting off of Interstate 70 and looking at all the nooks and crannies and the wonderful country roads and treasuring the cattle and the barns that seem to be fading. But that has really made a big impact.
Right. And what about the Mid-Missouri area? That's where we are based here. Okay. You're both from East, but what did you find in Mid-Missouri that was interesting to you?
In Mid-Missouri, when you're talking about Boone County?
County or some of our neighboring counties, Cole County, Moniteau County, some of those other ones around here?
You know, there's just a tremendous resource. Like in Cooper County, there's right. a little town there, with I think it's called Black, Missouri, there's a lot of cities, but it's just south of 70. But it's, you know, they've got where the windmill used to be in the intersection of the four-way stop, which I thought was, you know, I'm not sure what it is now. But there's just all these wonderful little towns, and, you know, and then they've got a huge quarry that's south of there. And, you know, just, there's just so many things that in Moniteau, Lupus down there were, I did some paintings of those of that town where every building is on stilts, you know. So I mean that's like unheard of, you know. It's just, you know. And I did and then there was a little post office up in a town not far in Moniteau that had I forget what it was at one time, but one of the locals was telling me that Jesse James robbed that place one time and. You know, it just goes on and on. There's so many people that came through here, and so much Civil War history, and so much just that's passed through this region. You know, with the riverboats and everybody going out west, and You know, I just I could just go on and on.
Right. What about Boone County? I mean, the image for Boone County is something that a lot of people who live in Boone County would never see in their lifetime.
You know,
right?
and I've tried to explain this to people that I know there were no tribes that were basically based here, and I've been told.
Let me just jump in real fast. For those who are unfamiliar with the painting, it's a painting of a teepee, right?
Yes, it's a teepee that's lit at night. That's right along the Katy Trail. And it used to be in Wilton, Missouri, and it was there for years and years. And it's on the property of the Rimseys. Rimseys, I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong. But it is – I specifically went out. A friend of mine, Henrik, called me up and said, I'm going out to see the Rimseys. And they're going to – because it just snowed and they started – he's going to put a fire in the teepee and we're going to paint it at night. Now – this area of the whole 115 counties plus the city of St. Louis, this is the only painting that depicts any sign of the American Indian's presence here. So to me, it was, you know, he was real proud of his American Indian heritage and his wife. And so I just got so excited about painting that to me, it's a very special thing.
Right. Are there other counties that kind of stick out in your minds as places that, you know, kind of highlights of the journey? I mean, it's quite a lot of places you've been here.
Yes.
And I think when we did our presentations in the early days, we're still doing them, but there were more of them. And we, as you said, we were in the Columbia region and go north, the mid-region to the other counties. I just think the entire experience of going through those country roads and the feeling, the heritage, and each one has a little bit of a different personality. Because I believe going up to Kirksville, your station, I think, goes up
yeah,
to
we
Kirksville.
Do.
You know, just taking the route that direction, I have learned that each one has a different personality.
Yes.
I believe when I was talking to someone from your station, I said my friends started to chuckle at me because when I was working on the project, I looked at Missouri almost as a continent because I would talk about the East Coast, the West Coast, because each part of our region has a different feel to it.
Yeah, it is interesting that as sort of a microcosm for the whole country with, you know, big cities on the East and West
exactly.
And then rural middle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
My favorite spot in the state is in Salem, Missouri, in Dent County, and that was where there's a segment of the Trail of Tears. And when I go there, I can feel the Cherokee in just around me. And a similar story is that in Ralls County, which is what Billy O mentioned before, it's the only courthouse that's on the back of the book that he painted. There's a couple who maintains St. Peter Brush Creek Church there. And there's a very modest, simple slave cemetery. And then there's another cemetery. And she said that when her husband mows the lawn, that she can actually hear the spirituals being sung in the background. And so when she told me that story and I shared the Cherokee story, it was really impacting for
That's
both
interesting.
Of us.
And so what got captured in the painting from Ralls County?
What got captured is this courthouse is so different and it's so unique. A lot of people don't know, but this courthouse has been recreated in two World's Fairs because it's just an amazing example of Georgian architecture. And the neat thing about it was that there was a huge cost of restoring it and preserving the building. And sure enough, the community came together and they secured, I think it was right at $2 million, I think,
They banded together. And it's also one of the two oldest still in existence courthouses in Missouri.
Yeah, and I actually let them use the image on wine bottles to help sell wine and to raise funds and things like that. So, I mean, Karen and I actually got... Yeah, you know, we became parts of the communities mm-hmm. in the effort to preserve, you know, and that's and there's some of the things like the Churchill Memorial. You know, I had been over in Italy. I take groups over to Italy every so often, but I came back from Italy and everything's a warm color there. And I happened to go to the Churchill Memorial in Callaway County and. That building is made out of like a really cool colored stone. And it's just, and it's, and it just had these wonderful flowing lines to it, and it just spoke to me. I guess after coming back from Europe, it just to come and be and see this building. It's the oldest structure in America that is still being used for what it was originally built for. But even though it was built in Europe,
fascinating.
I think that's a good point of becoming part of the communities. When we would go to different counties, for example, Schuyler County, there are a lot of sheep farms. That's northern Missouri. And we gave a presentation, book signing there, and a couple came up to us, and Billy O had painted a sheep farm. Turns out that the couple that came up to us owned the sheep farm. So still in my collection of photos, you feel like you've become friends with them. We see the mom and the dad and the daughter of the people of the farm that you painted.
Yes.
And that made it all, we keep using the word mystical. Somehow all the pieces came together with this project in a much more magical fashion than we ever imagined.
And you'd say, why sheep in Schuyler County? And that's where that county produces more sheep per capita than any other county in the state. So for years and years that's happened.
Right. Okay, let me remind everyone, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about landscape painting in Missouri, and joining me in the studio are artist Billy O. O'Donnell and Karen Glines. They work together on a project called Painting Missouri. The collection includes images from all of Missouri's counties and the city of St. Louis, and it's currently on display in Columbia. For those of you in our audience, are there other sites you can think of that are picture perfect and deserve to be painted in our area here in Missouri? We'd love to hear your ideas and your thoughts or other comments that you'd like to contribute. Our phone number is 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Karen, you started to mention a little bit about the response as you went around the state, and I'd love to hear more about how people responded to this project and to these paintings and the book.
I think it was just, Billy O's mentioned the warmth that we felt wherever we went. And they really encompassed us as family. And each, whatever event it was, you just felt like you could almost be invited to chicken dinner on a Sunday at their homes because they were so warm and welcoming. And really, Missouri people tend to be like that. And I felt, I never really felt not accepted anywhere that we went. And they enjoyed learning about what we did and, what we're talking about today. They wanted to hear the same kinds of stories. And what we did about 2 years ago, maybe, is I had a thought of making our website more interactive. So we, even though we have stories, we wanted to hear what stories people in the communities may have. So we asked them to start telling us stories about their communities. And on our Painting Missouri website, people can log on to a section and read about other stories.
Interesting. And what are some of the interesting stories that you got that you didn't expect to hear?
Most of the time, people tend to talk about family, just as you were saying before, and they tell us about a distant, family member or a grandfather and the farm that was in their particular region. I think the pictures are really reminiscent of a lot of people's pasts. There's one in particular, the rope swing in Marys County. I've had probably 10 friends tell me it reminds them of when they were young and they had a family member that had a place with a rope swing. And so it's stories like that that seem to have generated.
Uh-huh. And what about you, Billy? Are there moments from the tour after the fact that stick out in your mind?
Yes. The one that sticks out in my mind is Schuyler County, going back to Schuyler County. There was a gentleman up there named Diamond Bill, if I've got it right, and he shipped some mules. Missouri was famous for mules. Shipped some mules to South Africa, and instead of bringing the barges back empty, he brought them back with elephants and giraffes and lions.
Because it was a circus.
Yeah, and he started renting them out to circuses, mm-hmm. And at one time, I think he owned all the circus animals in the country, just rented them out. And when I was I actually had the opportunity to talk to some of the people when they were kids in the town. There's no such thing as tying up an elephant or staking it to the ground. But an elephant, once it goes somewhere, it's going to go somewhere. To hear these stories from these people that when they were kids about how they'd be sitting there at the kitchen table eating dinner, and all of a sudden an elephant would come walking up to the window and stick its head in. Or you'd be outside in the yard and an elephant comes walking by. I mean, just stories like that, you're just like, wow, that's here in Missouri. That's just, Yeah, just so many amazing stories like that.
I think what we've heard, too, is, you know, we're so fortunate the exhibit's back in Columbia. And what we've heard people say is when they go see the paintings, it makes the book come alive. Because the they're, even though they're the same images, when you see a painting face on, you know, and you see the strokes, and they're all different sizes, and Bilyeu's work, it tends to make the stories that we've written about in the book just become more real.
Interesting. How big are the paintings?
They vary in size. From, I think the smallest one is actually an 8x10, and the largest one I think is, I want to say, 24x30.
And how did you decide on that? Are the ones in the window the small ones so you didn't have to be outside?
I like that. Now, no, you know, it all depended on the subject that I was painting. And, you know, because there's – but then there's also an emotional connection with what's going on. Sometimes you feel like doing a small painting. And there's times when you feel like doing a big painting. But then there's also times when you say, this would make a wonderful big painting, or this would make a nice little gem. You know,
and so, what are the things that go into that decision? I mean, is it just a feeling, or is there something else?
I wish I could explain it. You know, it's just I can't really put my finger on it sometimes. You know, it's just, you know, there's the
mill. The one story you've shared with me about the mill.
Oh, the mill.
And
the,
you were tired that evening.
And that's a good one, because the mill, Bollinger Mill, down in Burfordville, Missouri, near Cape Girardeau, just to give everybody an idea. I had been camping and sleeping. It was cold. There was snow on the ground. And I was miserable because I was just exhausted. I was tired. And I'd been cold and it just having a rough time. And I got to the mill, and I was like, and it was winter. The leaves were off the trees. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely beautiful. And then I just caught myself saying, well, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm not that far from home. I could be home by a certain time. And I just started making up all these excuses. And I just got mad with myself because I was looking for excuses. And it takes me back to a famous quote. And I read about an artist one time, the best time to create is when you do not want to. So that's when I said, okay, I'm going to create. And I got a big canvas out just to frustrate myself a little bit more. And there's things that happen when you're tired and when you're exhausted. There's I think you change some of the protocol and the way you create, where you do things differently and stuff. And this painting just flowed off my brush. It was just an amazing connection. And I think being tired and being hungry, it was easier to go into the zone and create and just get lost in the painting.
And how did you decide how you were going to capture that?
Oh, when I walked up to that spot and saw the branch that came up to the side with had some stuff caught in it from the high water, it just completed the composition. I mean, I couldn't have asked for it took the postcard quality away from it, you know, and the snow on the ground. So it just and that last bit of light hitting the building, building up to that last bit of light was just really special.
Okay. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about landscape painting in Missouri. Joining me in the studio are Bilyeu O'Donnell and Karen Glines, who worked together on a project called Painting Missouri. The collection includes images from all of Missouri's 114 counties, plus the city of St. Louis, and it's currently on display in Columbia. We're going to take a short break, but we hope that you'll stick around. Feel free to join our conversation here with your thoughts or questions. Our phone number, 882-8925. Please give us a call, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. And welcome back. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about landscape painting in Missouri, and joining me in the studio are artist Billy O'Donnell and author Carradine Glines. They work together on a project called Painting Missouri, and the collection includes images, paintings by Billy O of 114 counties, all of them in Missouri, along with the city of St. Louis, and essays about each one put together in a book. The exhibit of the paintings is currently on display in Columbia. And for those of you in our audience, are you a fan of landscape painting? If so, we'd love to hear what it is about it that you love. Give us a call. Our phone number is 573-882-8925. You can also email us at intersection@kbia.org. We're talking a little bit about the paintings themselves, the various sizes and shapes and all of that. Is it possible for people to own a piece of these paintings? I mean, are they for sale? Are there prints for sale? Or what's the situation with that?
Yes, you can purchase prints. Yes. But right now, we haven't sold any paintings out of the collection. Our goal is to keep this collection as a whole. It took 7 years to create this body of work, to get a body of work that I felt was just, to me, wonderful, the way it all interacted together. And it took Karen a long time to get all these essays together and get everything put together. But so it was 7 years, a long time of just getting these all together. And this all happened, when you look at this project, it all happened right around the middle of it, the middle of the project, probably Lewis and Clark's 200-year anniversary fell in that in the middle of the project. We started in 2001, and we went up to 2008, and it took a long time for this whole thing to come together. So Karen and I, so this project started in 2001. Now it's 2012, and we've been traveling the exhibit around the state. So it's gone to many locations throughout the state, and some of the locations they had the highest turnout they ever had for an art exhibit. From Hannibal to Poplar Bluff to the Boone County Historical Society, Kansas City downtown, the downtown library, and the Boone County Museum, but it's still like this. It's going to go up to Kirksville, then it's going to go to the Albert Kemper Museum in St. Joe. So we still got a little bit of traveling to do with this exhibit, but it's not something that we just feel like as though, and Karen can say it a lot better than I can, we're real proud of our state, where we're from. So there's a real sincerity about this project that we just don't want to start selling the paintings out of it willy-nilly, but you can buy a print.
And so at this point, you guys own the collection.
Yes.
I think the collection to me is like a family. And just like we talked about the families that we've met across our state, we don't want to break up this family. You know, it's really representative, I think, of the genuine spirit of Missouri. And it just encompasses, when you see them all together, and it just encompasses all the different, as we said, personalities and feelings. You know, when you look at the paintings, you can feel that's Kirksville's really cold, or you can see the beautiful Mississippi County with the Azalea Festival, or you can see, your region and the variances and the beautiful Cole County with the state capital. So we really don't want to break up our family.
Right. And what would you like to see happen with the collection then? I mean, what's your vision for where it's going to go after it tours around a bit more?
I don't know if we really have a vision yet, but we'd like to see it in a place that has visibility for the collection. So in other words, the public can have access to it. I mean, that's ideally what we would like. We'd still like for it to travel every so often through the state, or I would. But I think it's something that I got a wonderful letter from Poplar Bluff, Missouri, down the Margaret Harwell Museum. And they talked about these kids that came through, and these are kids that have had a tough go in life, and so many of them ran around to find their county, and they recognized those areas, and there were paintings in there that they recognized that they had been in Missouri. So it was this, it was to hear about something like that, that's just a gift.
And one of the things University of Missouri Press asked us with the book is not to write or paint something that was trendy or that would not be around for a long time. And so we definitely respected that. And however, nature, as Billy O mentioned Pierce City before, the week after he painted Pierce City was the May 2003 tornado that wiped out that entire town. And he said he gets emotional when he went back there to see that those beautiful flowering trees, you know, and the buildings more than that were demolished and gone. And so a lot of our paintings are already becoming historical in that when you view them, they're not the way they are anymore. But it's not anything that we did. It was purely nature.
But it's interesting, though, that the paintings do have a sort of timeless quality to them, especially since a lot of them are landscapes where you don't see people, you don't see current fashion, you don't get a sense of the today in them. It's just sort of this very timeless look.
Thank you.
One of the professors that reviewed the copy before it went to press, Dr. Christensen from Phelps County, I met him at one of the book signings, and he said that he would look at Billy O's paintings and he could recognize the county it was without knowing.
Interesting.
Yeah, what a great quote.
Yeah.
That's just a wonderful quote. It's just I need to have that on my wall.
In terms of the quality of the painting and the style that they're in, I mean, that's part of what lends that timeless nature to
it,
right?
And the other thing too is I'm a big believer in this. When you look at the history of painting, you can pretty much do a little slice of time and show landscapes, and you can kind of say this is from that time frame. This is from that time frame.
Can you walk us through a little bit of that for the people who are not familiar with the history?
Sure. If you go back to the Renaissance and you look at the landscape in the Da Vinci paintings, or look at the landscape in some of the paintings from that time frame, there were artists from that time. Mezzo, the half light painters, Machiavelli painters, and they did this really blocky style of kind of, and they call it half light, light and dark, and you can see that falls right into that Renaissance period. And when you look at Da Vinci's work, Da Vinci's landscapes are very different and strange. And you look at, and then you go a little further in history, and you look at the Bruegel brothers, you know, their look is completely different. You go a little bit later in history to Fragonard, the trees have a rhythmic feel to them. When you go a little bit further in the, you know, you see the Impressionists, where the Impressionists were all about brush strokes and marks.
And it's really, that's the point really where painting sort of took a turn in the direction where you are, right? Where outside became a really big deal, and capturing the light and those sorts
true.
Of things.
That's true. But actually it was happening in Italy. I mean, a good hundred, and it was actually happening back in Da Vinci's time. A little bit after Da Vinci, but it was happening at that time with the Italians, and then the Germans started coming down to Italy and painting the light down there, and then Corot and all these others, and then Corot, and then you had the Barbizon school. Then it went into the French Impressionists, and the French Impressionists really stand out because they had different kinds of marks on the surface. They had different kinds of things, and they saw things visually. So it was everything just kind of, when you look at Monet's early work to his later work, that's when everybody gets excited, you know. Or you look at Van Gogh's work, some of the other artists from that time. You had Seurat that was doing the pointillism and things like that. So there was a lot of exciting things that happened. But people have been painting outside way before the French Impressionists. But the term got tagged Impressionists, and they did do amazing things, and they painted from life a lot.
Right. And in terms of landscape painting in our time, I mean, when you started doing landscape paintings, how was that received?
You know, when I was first in St. Louis, and I painted landscapes for a long time, but I could not get my work into a gallery to save my life. And that's when everything changed, when I was invited to the San Juan Capistrano Mission paint out years ago, and where you show up and you paint for a week, and they invited 100 select artists from California and 5 guest artists across the country. And then you show your work after you paint for a week. And what happened was I was approached by the premier gallery in Southern California. And they were shocked to find out I was not in any galleries. And I said, I can't get into a gallery in St. Louis. And they just could not figure that. And all of a sudden, my work was in every art magazine out there. My name was in every art magazine out there. It literally changed. And I came back to St. Louis and said, what's wrong with this place? And that's when I decided to create landscape painting events and change the perception of landscape painting here in the Midwest, because we have this wonderful landscape. We have so much to offer a painter, that whole rural quality. To me, that's as exciting, you know.
And is it still difficult for a landscape painter to get work shown in a gallery in the Midwest?
I think it's difficult for any artist.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So, but no, I think there's a lot of wonderful painters. I wanted to create a community of artists. And Karen was a big part of that with this whole Katy Trail project and things like that. And now there's like the Missouri River Valley painters. There's all these groups that have popped up. There's the Plein Air Painters of Missouri. There's all these groups. And now it's not such a lonely profession. I don't feel like I'm all alone.
Right.
I always tell Billy O when he talks about a new project, I said, well, Billy O, your personality and how you do things, you're like the Pied Piper. If you tell a group he's going to start painting, you know, they will come. And I think part of it is, particularly female friends I have that do this, you know, it's not something a woman necessarily wants to park on the side of a country road. You know, there's a sense of camaraderie to be in a group of people and painting. And I think that's what was so beneficial with our first project we did together, because it just, there were 200 people across the state that gathered at different locations. And even when he has his workshops, people, it's fun for the artists to get together and share what they're painting and talking about. And they're a fun group of people. And they're very serious. You know, I used to, people didn't know exactly what I was doing at the time when I was doing the photojournalism. And it wasn't a party. I mean, it was a very serious event where when I interviewed artists, I never talked to anyone who did not take what they were doing seriously. It was a product that they were creating, and they had a reason why they chose that particular subject matter and why they were using that particular medium. And also in their heart, why they were there. And I think that's why I got and am still involved with the arts in our state.
Interesting. Now, your paintings, are they oil paintings? Is that
correct?
Right? And is there a big difference between people who paint with oil and people who do watercolor work?
Surface. It's more of a surface, and you know, you're going to get thicker paint on the surface of oils usually. And you know, oils can still be used transparent like watercolors, but watercolors can be used transparently. You know, I can always come back in with white paint and fix an area. With watercolor, they've got to scrub it out or scratch the paper or something like that. So it's I use oils.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask about, Karen mentioned a little bit sort of the people who take the painting seriously. And I'm curious a little bit about how many of those people were actually artists full-time versus people who, you know, paint as a side thing. Because, Billy O, you've jumped completely in, right? You are
yes.
full-time an artist, and that's it. And I wonder what that's like in terms of, you know, the life of an artist. We kind of idealize it in many ways, but I wonder if it's really so true, the sort of idealized vision of a painter out in the wilderness painting all the time. I mean, it sounds so romantic.
Well, you know, it's – I guess it depends on your version of romantic, because – for me, when I was doing this Painting Missouri project, I would go out and I would camp out. And a lot of people are like, oh, I hate to camp. And things. But to me, there's something wonderful about feeling the cold, about the snow falling and the way the wildlife is acting, the way the wind's blowing. I feel like it's telling me things all the time. Like lately, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine today, Kit, and I was telling him when I'm on the river, that there's this rhythmic quality that happens on the river that I can't put in words, that it's more of a visual thing that, and then the other thing too is you get to see, you'll see an egret chase off a bald eagle because it got too close, or you'll see these amazing things that happen. But I talk in the book, when I was down at in Barton County doing the prairie, I thought the prairie would be not the most visual thing, but the prairie turned out to be one of the most powerful visual experiences I ever had in my life. So you never know what to expect. You know, people say, well, you know, you don't go paint today because it's going to rain. Well, you know, it's when you go out at times like that that you see just amazing things that happen. And so my life is enriched in different ways that excite me about this region. And I go to Hawaii about 3 months of the year, and I paint in Hawaii, and I take groups to Europe, and I paint all over the country and other places. I'm going up to Maine this fall. But when I travel outside the area and I come back here, Missouri seems even more special to me. There's something, and it's that searching in my artwork, trying to find that different quality that, to me, that excites me. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not.
No, this is interesting, very interesting. Yeah. Let me remind everyone once again, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about landscape painting in Missouri, and we're going to touch on elsewhere as well. Joining me in the studio are artist Billy O'Donnell and Karen Glines, who work together on a project called Painting Missouri. The collection includes images from all of Missouri's counties, plus the city of St. Louis, and it's currently on display in Columbia through the end of the month. For those of you in our audience, if you have questions or comments about landscape painting, we'd love to join you into this conversation. So give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Karen, would you say what Billy O is describing is similar to the other artists that you interviewed?
Well, I was thinking about that when you asked the question. A lot of the artists I interviewed, some don't have the opportunity to paint full-time as Billy O., but many of them were teachers, and so they would go out and do the weekend painting. And one of the teachers actually then used the materials for a Jesuit high school in St. Louis of the project that we first did together. And I think in a way it was almost like you would take a deep breath. I saw them just kind of unwinding for the 2-3 days they could expend of their busy weekday schedules, because it was just such a nice change from the hectic pace. And I think that's what I've experienced too, interviewing them. It's just a very heartfelt feeling of why they're into their art.
Right. Billy O., you mentioned, you know, the quality of Missouri versus the other places you paint. What is it about Missouri that does that?
I don't know if I can put my finger on it or explain it in words. But, you know, from Elephant Rock to, to up in Atchison County, where you've got the brickyard, that low soil, up in Mound City and places like that, to all these little streams and rivers and these little river towns that are, you know, I had a friend come down and travel with me across the state for about 2 weeks camping out, and he was from Indiana, and he was just totally blown away by the architecture of Missouri. He said, this is an amazing state. He thought it was all going to be newer buildings. He didn't think it was going to be these wonderful Victorian, you know, all these log cabins and all this just tremendous architectural, you know, just diversity that we had here in terms of history, you know. And he was really taken aback by that. And, you know, and when you hear someone like that say that, it makes you kind of stop and look and say, you know, I guess so. You know,
Right. But as a painter, it's not just the buildings that you're trying to capture, right? I mean, you mentioned the howl of the wind in the wintertime and the feeling of rhythm on the water. I mean, how do you work that into a painting?
You know, that's the difficult. That's why we got to focus. We got to really focus hard. But you also have to be honest with who you are and the way that you, just the way that you work and the way that my brushstrokes are going to be different than any other artist, just as my handwriting would in their handwriting. Yeah, so it varies. It varies in a lot of different ways.
Interesting. I want to talk a little bit. I'm curious what you all have been up to and are going to be up to now that this project is sort of on its way. It continues to tour, right? You said you go to Hawaii and do some painting there. What else are you up to these days or going to do in the future?
After this, I'm running to the river and throw my canoe in the river and canoe down and camp out for a couple of days on the river.
It's that time of year. A lot of people in this area are going to do the same thing. Yeah.
You know, it's after doing this Painting Missouri project, it's hard for me to sleep in hotels now.
So are you going to be painting while you
yes,
do the
yes.
canoeing?
Yes.
And are you going to paint in a canoe? Or are you?
No, I'll park it and then paint. No, you don't want to paint from in the canoe. That wouldn't be a good idea because it's always moving.
Right.
But there's a full moon tonight, and maybe catch some of the moonlight on the bluffs just south of Rocheport there.
Karen, what are you up to these days?
Well, I really still enjoy my photojournalism and writing essays and taking pictures on that. I'm involved with the St. Louis Artists Guild in St. Louis and doing a lot of community work with it. I still work with Billy O. I really like doing publicity. I can talk a lot about Billy O. So.
And we're going to talk to the Open Space Council.
I do that. Yeah, we have we're keynote speakers this week at an organization called Open Space Council. And we just seem to be busy.
Right. You know, are there a lot of other states where a project like this has been carried out, or is this a fairly unique thing?
No, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you know what happened with all the paintings from the Indiana counties?
Indiana's, from what I remember, they did their project very differently than we did, and there's a museum of art there. And from what I remember is they had a gala event, and they were sold immediately after. Maybe within a year after they were created. And they also had five artists that did their project versus the one. And I think they had hired a writer to do the project. So that's the only one that I'm aware of.
And is it likely that other regions might pick up on this idea, or is it just too much work?
that's a tough one. I know of an artist in Kansas who asked me about it, and he in Kansas doesn't have that many counties, from what I understand. I think it's only 30. and he painted in every county in the state within 30 days, and I think he did one each day, and then he emailed me and said, well, what do I do now? I'm like, I'll probably go and paint them all again, you know, and do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the only one I can think of. Yeah, other one I can think of.
Right. Are there other things you'd like to paint that you? I mean, you've been around Missouri now.
Yes. Yeah. There's so many things I'd like to paint. I'd maybe even like to do some historical work, special moments in the state and things like that. I'd like to do more figurative work too, and. You know, there's just so many things out there I'd like to do. It's easy for me to say, yeah, I'd like to do this and like to do that, but the rubber hits the road when I actually put the paint to the brush. I mean, you know, paint to the canvas. You know, so I never really know sometimes.
And one of the things that you haven't mentioned is a while back he painted the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra when it rehearsed, and then from that the Milwaukee Symphony.
Yes.
And I actually went to that performance, and they had a screen on the side as the musicians performed while he was creating, and that was really inspirational. And then,
and I did the Chicago Youth Symphony, and then I did a symphony down in New Mexico, and I was just kind of hopping around doing a lot of, and I was going down to the jazz clubs and painting musicians down there. So it's just it's like I kind of get into something and I do it and I kind of go through it and. I go on to the next thing.
And how did that happen that you wound up painting symphonies?
Well, how it happened was I had a model sit for me. And the model was sitting there holding the guitar like he was playing. He goes, this is – and I wasn't paying the model. And I said – he said, this is really boring. Can I move? And I said, you know what? Go ahead. And I took it as a visual challenge. And he played and I painted him while he moved. And then I started going down to some of the jazz clubs. And then I was into this whole philosophical thing where I would challenge myself. Because a lot of us do something and it's like sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and say, well, this is fine. But I was looking for things philosophically that challenged me, that pushed me. Because when you look at people that grow, people that excel at what they do, they're always pushing themselves and they're putting themselves in situations where it challenges you. And so my whole concept was to put me in creative situations where all of a sudden I would have to creatively challenge myself and rise to the occasion. And so when I went down to the jazz clubs and did that, I was like, you know, what would be even tougher? How about 80 people on a stage and maybe only having an hour to paint 80 people on a stage? You know, so it was things like that.
And is the idea with the symphony paintings that you have the painting finished when the performance is over, or is it that you get
pretty
the
much
basic
so.
Framework and you
because,
touch it up?
Because, maybe I did a little bit of touch up, but the concept was the music, the influence of the music on the artist, painting the creators of the music. And to me, that was a wonderful concept. And it was just a lot of fun, and I loved it. I did a series on the Muni in the back of the Muni where people would come off stage for 20 minutes and I'd do a painting of them in the backstage. I felt like Toulouse-Lautrec.
And when he was painting when he was painting in Milwaukee, there was a very, very famous violinist, and we all went backstage. And afterwards, the people that were remaining were all following Billy O and not the famous violinist, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's an interesting story in terms of the way we connect mm-hmm. to visual arts as opposed to music, perhaps. Or
but just that night, they were intrigued, I guess, with the combination of the art, you know, the painting.
They wanted to see
the novelty.
They wanted to see the painting.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. Good point.
And did you say that they were projecting you up on a screen as you were painting while
yes.
the music was
yes.
going?
Uh-huh. And I paint in a different way. A lot of people draw lines and then color them in. I paint in mass. So my paintings look very abstract and then come together.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we have time for a quick story.
Yeah, please.
Once we were in our first project, there were it was in Harrisburg, and Billy was painting a wagon of pumpkins, but he started with this orange mass, and some of the gentlemen were enjoying some afternoon libations, I guess we could say, and the one said to him, you know, he's painting a whole, you know, wagon of straw. And so then about 45 minutes later, they had all become pumpkins. And he brought his buddies back over, and he said he turned the hay into pumpkins. So it was, you know,
funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to end there. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank our guests, landscape painter Billy O'Donnell and author Karen Glines. They work together on the project Painting Missouri. We'd like to remind those of you enjoying this as a rebroadcast that Intersection takes place live from 2 to 3 every Monday. You can join us each Monday afternoon by listening to KBIA or by going online to kbia.org. There you'll find an online chat with others in the audience. You'll also find a link to our archive where you can find all of our programs, including the full hour of today's broadcast. Intersection is broadcast from the Reynolds Journalism Institute and is a project of RJI and KBIA. Today's program was produced by Raymond Tungekar and Janet Saidi. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Leah Becerra. Pat Akers is our audio producer. I'm Reuben Stern. I'd like to thank you for joining us and see you again next week.